Welcome, friends, to the Homegirls Podcast. This is the place to be if you have questions about buying and selling in today's real estate market. My name is Beth Hobart. I'm a top-selling, award-winning Central Florida realtor, and I'm here with my incredible co-host, Vicki Molitaire.
Hi, friends.
A top-producing, highly recognized mortgage expert. Together, we have over 50 years of combined experience helping clients achieve their goals of home ownership in any market. Our mission to help you find your way home. So let's get started. Hey, Vicki, how are you doing today?
Hey, Beth. Good morning. Excited to have some coffee with you and record. Talk about good stuff today.
I know. I'm excited about our topic today because I feel like these things are what you hear in the media or people are talking about it, but maybe sometimes people are afraid to ask the questions, you know, because sometimes people that I'm working with are just afraid that they're going to look dumb. And I'm always telling people, there are no dumb questions. Always ask the questions because sometimes we use a lot of words and verbiage that, you know, are not layman's terms, right? We do this every day.
I get this question that we're going to discuss today almost daily. There's so much to learn when you're trying to buy a house and learning whether or not, you know, it makes sense to pay points and what points are is right. Part of the process, but usually not until after you're under contract. Like it's not top priority. But right. It's definitely, once we go under contract, it is. So we should start educating and teaching everyone what to expect and what they need to know.
So, okay. So let's unpack that a bit. So if I am under contract and I'm buying my house, I'm trying to figure out interest rates, right? So tell me what a point is and what are points when you're trying to get a loan?
So a point is typically 1% of your loan amount. And points are 100% optional, guys. We want you to know what they are, how they can impact your payment, and you know help you make good decisions for you and your family. So a point is 1% of your loan amount. And by paying points, you can get a lower interest rate. So usually a lender will say, well, here's the rate today, now that you're eligible to lock in. Here's the rate today without points. Here's a slightly lower rate with points. And the amount is going to be some percentage of your loan amount. So you may have the option to pay a couple $100 in points. You may want to pay $10,000 in points. It just depends on your scenario. And there's several, you know, deciding factors in whether or not you should pay the points.
Do you have a certain amount of time? So you were talking about like locking in your rate. So do you have a certain amount of time to buy points? Like if I wanted to do that, but I was, and you told me today what the scenario was and how much it costs, how much time do you have before closing to make that decision? Because doesn't it kind of hinges on what's going on in the market as well, a little bit too.
It does. It's like a good loan officer is going to have a rate strategy conversation with their client as soon as they go under contract. We'll talk about rates the entire time from pre-approval, you know, while you're shopping. We're always telling you what the market's doing because we're giving you estimated payments, right? And cash to close on these houses you're seeing. So we're updating you on rates and we're following economic news and the economic calendar to figure out where rates are headed and offering advice and making sure you have accurate payments. But as soon as you get a contract, that's when it's time to have a rate strategy conversation. Most of the time when we lock the interest rate in, the reason we need the contract is we need the address because the rate goes with the address. We need to know how long, right? We need to know what you guys negotiated for a closing date. How long do we have to have that rate locked in for? So we advise our clients typically lock in sooner than later in this volatile environment. You know, hasn't paid off recently to wait. You can lock in though, to answer your question. We could lock you in up to a week before closing if we had to. Right. I suggest to 95% of my clients, let's get you locked in within a day or two of getting a contract. And then we offer a renegotiation option at the end if the market, you know, improves significantly, which I'm not going to go into, you know, big detail today because we're really here to talk about points and like, you know, do you pay them? Do you not pay them? When does it make sense? What's right for your family?
Right. And a rate lock just basically, if you notice that the markets are doing well and the interest rates come down a little bit, that's when you would lock it and just, and then relook at it. Up to how many days before closing are you able to do that?
The renegotiation is within 15 days of closing, as long as the loan's approved. The market usually has to be more than 0.25% better in rate and more than 0.375 better in points. So it gets a little complicated, but we do renegotiations. I've had a lot of success. Again, in this market, the biggest suggestion we make is lock in as soon as you get a contract because it's been more likely that rates would move up than down. So if you're happy with your rate and payment the day you get your contract approved, or, you know, within a day or so, I always suggest locking in. And that's when we have that points conversation. We're talking about, okay, what's available with right. and without points.
So you would still be able to buy down your loan, your rate at that 15-day mark. If my loan is approved and I'm already locked, I can still go ahead and buy points if I feel like
you can.
That might be a good way to do it.
Yeah, we try to make the decision. We try to lock in once. And typically beyond that, if we have to make a change, like a buyer decides to put more down, maybe they sold their house and now they do want to pay points, of course we can. But, you know, we try to, by the time you write a contract and we're ready to have that rate strategy conversation, we've probably talked 10 times. We know what we're, what our plan is. You know, each time we talk, we kind of build on our relationship, build on, you know, what's coming next, what are the steps. So most of my clients, you know, are aware that it's probably, you know, more dangerous to let your rate float and not lock it in than it is to get it locked. And that let me watch out and see if I can do any better for them later. So,
right.
Love that.
So another question for you, let's say, and this might be harder to answer, but if I think I'm going to live in this house, it's my forever home. In that instance, is buying down the rate a good idea versus if I'm moving in 3 years? Do you have any advice for people with either scenario, or does it just depend? Because I know sometimes that is the answer.
I know. I feel like we need t-shirts for our podcast that says it depends because everyone's different, right? We say that, I think, on a lot of our episodes. But no, that's good. I mean, basically what you're asking is like, who should be paying points, right? And who shouldn't? And, you know, I can't just draw a line in the sand and say get on either side because it depends on your situation. So obviously, if you're short cash to close, you've just got enough, you know, put together for your down payment and closing costs. We're not looking to pay points.
Right.
We're trying to find you an interest rate that gives you a comfortable payment, what you were expecting without paying any points. We start to get into that point conversation with people who have a little bit more disposable income and cash. And, you know, a lot of it comes from clients that will come to me that just sold a house. So they've got like this, they're like, we want to put everything down on the next house. Well, sometimes there's a strategy in there, right? I literally had someone Friday, they're going to put a few hundred thousand dollars down. Mm-hmm. So they're really blessed out a few hundred thousand dollars, but so then we're having that conversation like, okay, let's maybe take 10 grand of that and look and see what we can do with the interest rate, because their philosophy is they've got this extra cash, use some of it to buy down the rate permanently.
Right.
Because they don't want to have to refinance. Refinancing is great. If rates go down, a lot of us are going to refinance that bought houses in the last 2 years, but it costs money to refinance. You got to pay your closing costs over again. So if you have this extra money now and you can just buy down your rate and you're spending about the same amount of money you would have on the closing costs of a refinance,
right?
Then why not explore it? So for that customer, you know, the buy-up customer that sold a house, has the extra cash, going to take what they would have spent on a refi and just maybe spend it on points now and be done. You know, that's a good make sense conversation. You brought up something really good, the 3 year thing, like the, for the person that knows they're going to move. Like, how long do people stay in the house typically that you sell homes to?
I mean, I think the average is probably like around 5 years or so, you know, maybe less, 3 to 5 sometimes. I mean, it used to be, you know, you would stay there for 20, 30 years, never move, right? Buy once, like my, you know, when I grew up in my house, like our parents lived in the house for 40 years, 50 years, you know, but now I think it's more like 3 to 5 years. Is kind of on average. People move for work. There's different dynamics that are at play. Maybe they're upsizing, downsizing. There's opportunities somewhere else. So
family size changes, right?
Yeah. And now people working remotely, if you can work anywhere, maybe, you know, you're living in a city and you're like, you know what? I've always wanted to move, you know, to a different city or a different state or different weather. You know, that's not stopping people anymore having, you know, a brick and mortar building. So I think we're seeing a lot more movement on that shorter time frame than the longer.
So people ask me, should we pay points? And what we just talked about is my first question. It's like, okay, how long are you going to be there? Because I've got to figure out that you're going to be there long enough to benefit for the money you spent, right? If you spend, you know, $5,000 in points and you save $100 a month, you know, if we do the math, you've got to be there about 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure you're going to be there long enough that you're going to benefit from the lower rate and payment you just purchased. You know, you got to find your break-even point first. So that's a big question. How long are you going to be there? you know, to determine if you should spend the money. And then we have to have that conversation, what I just mentioned. Like, if you're a person who, if the rates go down a half or a quarter or three quarters over the next year, if you plan on refinancing because you're going to be in this house a long time, then don't pay points now. If you have to ask yourself, do you believe the market's going to improve enough that you're going to refinance? Because if you do, then why spend thousands of dollars now and then on a loan you're going to refinance before you actually reap the benefits and break even?
Yeah.
With that lower rate. So it's very individual choices. Like, I have some people doing it that know they're not going to stay in their house very long, that don't want to pay for a refinance in the future. And then you and I have a client, no names to be mentioned, but I offered him, you know, he had a little extra money and we talked about bringing the rates down, but he firmly believes that rates are going to come down at least a point. He took a higher interest rate with no points. Because he's just going to bank that money for the future because he believes he'll be able to refinance and this is his forever home. So,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's an individual decision and circumstance. So a lot of things at play. What I love is that you strategize with the client to really figure out what's best for them. So I love that about you, that you're a very strategic person to talk to. And even when Jim and I have bought properties in the past, we always come to you and we're like, okay, here's what we've got on the table. What is the best way to move forward? So I think that's so beneficial to your clients.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's something that, and there are more questions that we dive into, but I think we've covered the basics for people who are curious, you know, what are points and should I pay them? You know, I think we've covered the basics for sure. If you have some extra money, it's certainly worth exploring points. Look at how much it saves you per month versus how much you're spending. Calculate your break-even point. Think about how long you're going to be in the house and decide if that makes sense. And, you know, we all have different opinions on what the market's going to do. No one has that crystal ball. If you think the rates are going to come down a half or more, then there's definitely the opportunity to refinance later. And you might want to consider that too, because any money you spend on points up front would be wasted then if you're going to refinance later.
That is all great information. We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. And when we come back, we're going to talk about rate buy-downs, which is a little bit different.
Like temporary buy-downs instead of permanent buy-downs.
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll talk about that when we come back. So hang with us for a moment and we'll see you in a second.
This episode is sponsored by Legacy Life Project, creating personal biographies of elderly relatives in high-definition video so that future generations will be able to see and hear them tell their life stories in their own words. Create a lasting legacy for your family before it's too late. Visit LegacyLifeProject.com for details and to schedule a personal biography video interview.
Welcome back. Beth and I are discussing buying down interest rates today, temporarily and permanently. We just covered the permanent buy down.
Yeah.
And we're ready to move on.
We're moving on to the temporary rate buy down now, Vicki. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners are seeing ads like 2-1 buy down and things like that. So can you explain what a 2-1 temporary buy down might look like?
It is. And it's a continuance of this like rate conversation, point conversation. So what we talked about earlier was, you know, the buyer paying points to buy down the rate and whether or not they should. These advertisements, you see builders doing them and, you know, you see open houses and stuff, these 2-1 temporary buy downs, that's where the seller offers a credit and it helps lower your payment and your rate for a certain amount of time. The 2-1 buy down, it lowers your rate and payment for 2 years. So let's just, for example, if the rates were 7, on a 2-1 buy down, your first year rate would be 5, your second year rate would be 6, and then your note rate for the rest of the loan is 7%. Mm-hmm. So what the seller does is they pay for it, but they are basically setting money aside. It's a credit and it subsidizes your payment. It's not really giving you a lower interest rate. All your loan docs at closing say 7,
right?
But they're giving you money up front that subsidizes your payments for the first 2 years.
Right. So am I able to refi? If I have that benefit at the beginning of my loan, am I still able to refi? Like, let's say rates start to go down in the middle of that 2-year window. Are there any restrictions for me refinancing during that time?
That's a great question. We haven't refinanced any buy downs yet, but I can tell you that the money for the buy down goes into escrow. So it goes into a little savings account, just like your taxes and your insurance do. And when you refinance, any balance that's left. So let's say you're in your first 2 years and the opportunity comes along to refinance. So in that first 2 years, you've got money in that escrow account to subsidize your payment. You would be refunded what's left in there. So if you refinanced in the first 24 months, and if there was something left in there, then you would have the option.
Wow. Interesting.
Receive that back. Yeah, so it doesn't, you'd want to consider the temporary buy down, even if you believe rates come down. So I know that's what you were getting at. That's great.
I think, you know, the only problem with that might be that you have multiple offers on a property that you're trying to offer on. And so in that case, the seller would typically not be offering any closing costs, right? Because on that home, you're up against other offers and you're competing. So the cleaner you can make your offer, the better. So maybe that would work on a home that has been sitting for a long time. That's where you could possibly take advantage of. A temporary buy down is asking the seller in that circumstance, would they help out?
So what I do when you and I work together, if we have a client that we know is, you know, payment sensitive, they're feeling like they're shopping at the top of their price point. And that's a lot of our first timers.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard. House payments have gone up so much, even for starter homes. So we always have this strategy kind of in the back of our minds. If Beth comes across a house that has been sitting and I know I've got a client that, you know, would like a lower payment. Sometimes if they've got all their money for cash to close, you know, already their down payment closing costs, this might be something we try to negotiate. Or maybe, you know, sometimes it's advertised in the MLS once in a while that a seller's willing to pay for it. So I should probably explain how much it costs real quick.
Yes. That was going to be my next question that you beat me to.
Okay. So, hey, it depends. I feel like, again, we need the t-shirt. It depends.
I'm going to get shirts created wear. On this podcast. So that way.
One of our hashtags. Yeah.
Well,
it depends on the seller's purchase price because it's percentage based. Mm-hmm. So it depends on how expensive the house is. It depends on the buyer's credit score, the buyer's down payment. So we have a little calculation we do. I'm going to give, like, just for education purposes today, a $400,000 house will probably cost the seller somewhere between like $10,000 and $12,000 in credits, depending on what the market's doing. Sometimes it can be a little bit less. But that's just a rough idea. So we've talked before, even on our podcast, for a seller who's like, Beth, I'm not getting any traction. Let's just drop the price 10 grand. You might say,
let's offer a seller concession towards a buy down because that's what people are looking for also. So yeah, I mean, you do see it on some listings right now. And that is a strategy for sellers, you know, rather than lowering the price. So you know, just another good option, another little tidbit right there.
Yeah. I mean, just one thing to remember with the temporary buy down, you're really not getting a better rate because your rate is whatever that end rate is, the note rate. Like in my example, if rates were 7, that's your rate. Just the seller's giving you money so that for the first 2 years, your payment is being subsidized so that you feel like you're paying a 5 or a 6 the first year.
Yeah.
So I just like to, that's great.
That is
great.
I mean,
the savings can be a couple $100 the first year.
Absolutely. You could, squirrel that money away and save up. Hopefully you get to refi during that 2 year period. But if not, at least you have some money in savings that, you know, whatever that amount is, you can put away and just hang on to. So I think that's great. I think any chance that, you know, a buyer can have some savings on their rate and save some money right now, I think is a good thing. For sure.
Well, we just shared two ways with you to save money on your monthly payment by buying points permanently or by considering, you know, working with your realtor and your lending partner at the same time. We've got to be a team to get out there and search for sellers who will give us a credit so we can either help pay your closing costs or maybe look at a temporary buy down. Well, that's all for today, friends. Thanks for listening and thanks for your downloads and for following us. Thank you for your questions. Please keep those coming. We look forward to answering those. We drop a new episode every other week, and we can't wait to have you back. So have a great day. Thanks, friends.
Thank you for listening.